The book of Daniel, chapter number 3. You're familiar with the setting of this. Three Hebrew children. They have refused to worship a false god. And they had the opportunity to fall down and worship that god or be thrown in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And they refused. And so Nebuchadnezzar gives these fellas an opportunity to do it over. And they still refuse. And that's where we'll take up in verse number 14. He says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? Yeah, there you can stand with us if you would. Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true? O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not you serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast into the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, we be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was meet to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Heavenly Father, we pray that this morning you'll help us, Lord, to be yielded as a piece of clay in the hand of the potter. Lord, give us an anointing. An unction, as was preached yesterday, to preach the word of God. Lord, help us not to be here in our own strength. Lord, how futile it is for us to stand and preach in our own power, our own ability. And Lord, for a few moments, would you help us to discern some truth about the burning fiery furnace, or the fire, whatever we want to entitle this. But Lord, may your will be done this morning, all that we say or even attempt to preach in this hour. Lord, all the other preachers that follow today, we're getting started. Lord, I'd pray that you'd help us all to be led by the Spirit of God. Bless the reading now, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let you be seated there. This thing may ramble so much, I don't know whether you'll ever keep up with me, all right? So I want to preach on the burning fiery furnace, or the fire. I believe this. I believe that in everybody's life, if you go through the scripture, there are defining moments in people's lives. I believe when you get to Adam and Eve there, when they disobeyed God, that was a defining moment. I believe when Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain there in Genesis chapter 22, I believe that was a defining moment in his life. I believe John the Baptist came, and I think of all the things that John the Baptist said. I believe that day when he looked out and saw Jesus and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." Oh, what a defining moment there. I mean, if he'd have never said anything else in his life, my, what a statement that is. Look at Jesus. Here he comes. And I find that, in our lives, there are defining moments for us. The Bible talks about times when we have trials of our faith. When God will put to a test our faith. I don't believe anybody in here will ever amount to anything for God unless the faith has been put to a test. The trial of your faith, the Bible says in 1 Timothy, is much more precious than gold. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Peter talked about that we're not to think it strange when the fiery trial shall come upon us. And I believe that if there were ever a time in the life of these three Hebrew children, it was that moment when they were compelled to bow and confess to a false God. And they said, "Hey, we cannot do that. The Lord God of Israel is our God. And it does not matter where we are. We cannot bow our knee to your God." And so the Bible teaches that they were thrown into that fiery, burning furnace. Now, what I want to do tonight, is I want to preach a little while on the fire. If you've pastored long, you've been in the work of the Lord long, you have gone through some fires in your ministry. I tell you, if you've been preaching as long as I have, you've had a few church troubles. You've had a few people leave. Amen. You ever had that happen to you? You had a few people that got crossways with God. And boy, what it does is it comes in. You have to know the heart of a man of God to appreciate the service of God, because it's hard to preach and try to win people to Christ and try to point people to the Lamb of God, and sometimes go through these things that face your life and your ministry. And you have to ask God, "Lord, why are these things happening?" All we're trying to do is to preach the Word of God and keep people out of hell and get little boys and girls saved and point them to the Lamb of God. And why do these all the time happen to us? It may be that God is putting us into the fire. And I want to preach using this text some things about the fire. By introduction, I want to say that the fire, first of all, is not fun. There's no fun in the fire. It's not a Johnny Carson comic hour. I don't know any man of God that's worth his salt that gets into a fire and says, "Boy, this is fun. I'm glad it's coming my way." It's not a joking time. It's not a time when we crack jokes at what's going on.
I tell you, it's a time of basically when we're on our face before God and we're weeping and crying and wondering why this is happening. It's not fun time. It's not happy hour. It's not stand up and shout time. It's a time when our faith is being put to the test and God is putting the fire upon us. I'll tell you, I've never been in a fire when it was fun. It's not fun when a friend turns against you. It's not fun when somebody gets upset and leaves the church. It's not fun when somebody, maybe starts rumors about you and try to destroy your character. That's not fun. But I don't tell you, it won't destroy you. Thank God it won't destroy you. I want to tell you something else. The fire is not a final act of God. I basically in my years have just been getting out of one fire into another one. And you know what I'm talking about? The years I've been preaching, when I started preaching back in 1964, I thought, everybody will love preaching and everybody will love the things of God and everybody will love the ministry and everybody will love it when you pick up a Bible and start preaching the Word of God. And it surprised me when that didn't happen. And you know what's been going on for 30 years? I don't expect it to quit. But I tell you one thing. I do expect one day to have the final fire. That's good, isn't it? You say you get out of one fire into another. And let me say this. The fire, because you're in the fire, does not mean failure. It's not failure to be in the fire. If we had a vote here this morning and I asked everybody how many of you believe that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were failures. Not a one in here would say these men failed. The one many people liked them, but they were not failures. They did not fit the standard code of what people were supposed to be, but they were not failures. You can fail every now and then and not be a failure. And at a blessing, you can fail every now and then. God allows you to fail every now and then. But you're not a failure. Colonel Sanders, he went bankrupt twice before he produced that good chicken. We don't turn it down. I don't turn it down. Say, no, I can't eat that chicken this morning because Colonel Sanders failed twice. Amen. I've got out there and started churches. I know what it is to start a church. And everybody's running around saying if you're not running 500 in 6 months, you're a failure. Hey, that's a lie out of hell this morning. There ain't no truth in that. I won't tell you not a failure because every now and then you stumble and have a failing. Oh, thank God this morning what man calls failure may be the stepping stone to success in the eyes of God. These boys were not failures. They lost out. They got thrown in the fire, yes, but they were not failures. Oh, thank God. When their story's in, it make all of us want to jump in the fire with them. They're not failures. And let me tell you something else. Because you're in the fire doesn't mean that you're forgotten. They're not forgotten. They're not just a bunch of little old boys out here doing their thing. They're not in this because they wanted to be there. They did not choose this. They did not have this happen to them because they deserved it from the standpoint of spirituality and what they were doing for God. They were there because they knew God and they loved God more than they did anything else in the world. And I will tell you, just simply because they were thrown into the fire does not mean they were forgotten of God. Some of y'all this morning down there fighting battles. And if you're not in one right now, you'll be in one for long. And it don't mean God's forgotten you there. And I remember Brother Richardson, we go back a ways, but I remember in the state of Kentucky, Brother, when there wasn't but two or three or four independent Baptist churches. And I remember, my first church, I remember preachers were far between that were of our ilk and kind. And boy, you'd get in the middle of something and Brother Smith, you've been there, hadn't you? And you'd think that maybe you were the only one in 500 miles. Oh, but I want to tell you, if you're stuck out there in nowhere on the backside of the 40 acres and nobody else is within seeing distance of you, thank God you're still not forgotten. I tell you, God knows where you are. Amen. Old Brother Dave here went up to Red Hill. Man, that's not much up there, just old hills and poor people. But I want to tell you, if Brother Dave would stand up here this morning and tell you about the blessings of God, I tell you where he'd start. He'd not start where he is right now, but he would start back yonder where he was out there in the middle of nowhere, and maybe sometimes felt like he's the only one there. But thank God he wasn't forgotten of God. Wasn't forgotten. These boys were not forgotten. Isn't that a blessing today? While nobody on earth was paying attention. I don't believe that God showed up after they got in the fire. I believe that when they were thrown in, he was already in there cooling it down. Amen. Walking in the fire and saying, come on in here, boys. It'll be all right. You spend a while in here. I'm gonna spend this day with you. I personally made a visit with you, spend this day with you. And when they got in there, it wasn't as bad as they thought it was. I tell you, because where the Lord is, it's almost like a palace, isn't it? Thank God if you're in the midst of a fire, if Jesus is there, it'll be like days in, hallelujah, with the air condition on, and you're getting the cold laying on the air condition like I did last night. But I'll tell you, the Son of God will make the place where the fire is burning a holy place for you. Now, I want to show you some things that God taught them while they were in the fire. He first of all taught them that the heat will not be too hot. It'll never be too hot. I heard these dear ladies here yesterday talking about losing loved ones. I promise you those ladies could jump right back up here this morning and tell you that it didn't matter how hard it was and how many tears they shed and the heartache and the depth of it. I promise you they'll stand up here this morning and tell you that the Lord was with them. I mean, it didn't cause them to lose hope. Thank God they were in the fire, and the fire was hot, and the oven was turned up, and the heat was penetrating, and the heartache was deep. But I want to tell you, it was not too hot for God. He'll never get too hot. Isn't that a blessing, brother? I tell you what, if we go back and recount the bad things in our lives, I was telling my wife the other day, you know, my daddy-in-law was kind of a drunk most of his life. And I've seen him come in and bend over his steering wheel, couldn't even get out of the car. And my dear mother-in-law, sweetest woman on earth, like a mother to me, the number of times she has been cursed and maybe ill spoken of. But you know what? Something has happened to my mother-in-law. She cannot remember a bad thing that he ever did. And my wife will say, well, Mom, don't you remember that time he came in? And I don't remember that. And I said, honey, leave her alone. Let her remember those good things of God. Hallelujah. I've been preaching 30 some years. About the only thing I can remember is good things. Isn't that a blessing? Thank God. You say, you ever had any bad things? Oh, sure. But they don't stick out to me compared to the good things. I heard somebody the other day said, hey, do you remember that young girl in church that messed her life up? And I said, well, I faintly remember that, but I tell you what I do remember. I remember that one that surrendered her heart to God, and they're still serving the Lord. That's what sticks out to me. You know that old fire won't be too hot for you. Thank God the Lord Jesus will come in and cool that down for you. And I'll tell you something else there. That the hope will never fail while you're in the fire. I've never been in the fire and didn't expect to come out of it. And thank God I have, all of them. Amen, Brother Trenton. I've never been in the fire that God left me in it. I know the Lord will make a way somehow. I don't understand that. I've wrung my hands as a preacher a few times and walked the floors and wondered what in the world I was going to come out of this. But thank God, God brought us out of it. I have this little saying that people tell me all the time, saying, now, Brother Broughton, I don't worry, I want you to worry about this. And I said, I'm not going to. Hey, man, I've learned to take what comes, knowing that somewhere in the midst of all that happens, God will somehow make a way through it. Hey, man, there's hope in the fire. If you get thrown in that fire, listen to this. If you get thrown in that fiery furnace, now think along with me just a minute. If you get thrown into a fiery furnace that has been heated 7 times hotter than it normally was, and the ones that threw you in there died throwing you in, and you get thrown into that furnace, and 5 seconds after you're thrown in, you're still alive. Friend, you got some hope. Amen. If the first 5 seconds didn't melt your skin, the next 5 hours is not going to. There's hope there. Thank God. I believe when these boys got thrown in, and as they were throwing them in, and the ones that threw them in, they saw their flesh on fire and them a dying, and here they're thrown in, and they're not even feeling the pain. I believe they're thinking, boy, this is not going to be as bad as we thought. That's hope, isn't it? There's hope there. Oh, thank God. There's hope in the midst of fire. And I'll tell you something else the fire will reveal. It'll reveal the heart of God while you're in there. Have you ever heard that old song? I've never had a prayer He couldn't answer. I've never shed a tear He could not dry. When the waves of life seem so strong that I can't face them. Thank God He'll be there. The Lord's heart will be right there with you. Isn't it good to know that wherever the child of God goes, the heart goes with him? I climbed into my old car, Brother Richardson, headed off to BBC back in 1965, and my old mom and dad stuck their head in the car, and I was a-bawling, and Barb's a-bawling, and my baby was a-bawling, and mom and dad was bawling. Dad trying to hide his. Dad wouldn't let nobody see his tears, but he was heartbroken as much as anybody. And Dad stuck his face in that car, and he said, son, would you get up there? And things get rough, and you ever need anything, said, you call me and mama and said, we'll sell everything we got to keep you. I knew then that whatever happened to me, the heart of my mom and dad was with me. I never had to do that, thank God, but he would have. He said, we'll sell everything. He didn't own much, but he said, we'll sell it all. Oh, I won't tell you how our Savior did pay it all. Hallelujah. He not only sold it all, he paid it all. You think somebody'd do Calvary for you? You think somebody'd suffer what he suffered? You think somebody that had his own father not be able to look upon him and have to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then he reached down and saved you out of a slime pit of hell and saved your soul and then put you in the fire and his heart not be there with you. His heart there is with you. And I tell you what, you'll find in the fire that the hand of God will be there to deliver. He'll say like this, when thou walkest through the fire, tell you what, son, I'll walk through with you. Isaiah said that, didn't he? I'll tell you, the hand of God's there with you all the way. Hallelujah. Hey, I got to hurry here. Let me give you two thoughts else. I won't tell you what the fire will make you. I won't tell you what it'll do for you personally. The first thing that it'll do is it'll free you. When you've gone through the burning fiery furnace and you come out on the other side and God has walked with you, there's a freedom in that. Well, if Nebuchadnezzar did this to me and he's the strongest power on earth and he didn't succeed, well, I don't care about this little wimp out here that's against me. You're free. You're free. I tell you, there's a freedom when you've had God walk through a fire with you. There's a freedom when you know that the earthly powers cannot overcome God. There's a freedom in that. And I'll tell you something else it'd do for you. And I like this. And boy, I've learned on this. You'll be fearless of man. You think when you've been through a fire that you'll fear a deacon? Or you'll fear what some nobody out here has got to say against God? There's a fearlessness. What are you going to scare Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego with again? I'll tell you one thing, we're going to tie your hands behind you. Go ahead. Well, we'll vote you out. Go ahead. Hey, man. We don't like you being our pastor anymore. Well, go ahead. You think that scares you when you've been through the fire? What could a man say to you that was any worse than what they'd already been through? It produces a fearlessness in you. I tell you what it'll do also. It'll produce feelings for others. You won't be so quick to judge what somebody else is going through. I tell you, you won't care what, you won't be down there. Say, old brother over there, and I wonder what he's done wrong. He may not have done nothing wrong. He may just been standing for God. And God said, all right, this man's just standing for God. He's ready for me to put him in a fire. You know what? Fire tempers things. Gold is not purified by just putting a little fire on it. It is purified by intensifying the fire that is set under it to where the scum and all the filth comes to the top and they dip the scum off and then the heat is turned up and all of a sudden you look in that gold and you see the clear image of the face of God. And you look down here, you look down here at some old brother that 10 families walked out on him. He'll make you feel for him. You look at somebody down here lost her husband. That'll make you feel for him. You go out there and see that little snotty-nosed kid on the street that's not saved. It'll make you feel for him. You go down there and see the slums. You won't be so quick to judge and say, boy, they're getting what they deserve. I want to tell you, it'll create a feeling in you. I believe when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego heard, well, you know, one of our Hebrew brethren down there has been thrown into prison dungeon. I believe it caused them to fall on their face and say, oh, we know what he's gone through. We've been there ourselves. It'll create feelings for others. And let me give you one other thing, and I'm through. You'll find rest for your soul. Just a peace. Don't matter what comes up. No matter. You'll have this rest in your soul. God's able. God's able. Reckon we'll ever get through this, Brother Brown? Well, God's able.
Amen.
Boy, there's a rest in that.
Amen.
Boy, there's a rest in that.
Amen.
Boy, that's a good thing about getting older. I'll be 55. I'm not that old. You can tell that by looking, but I'm not that old. But I wouldn't for anything go back and walk over my life. Because it's getting better the older I get. You ever heard that song, Learning to Lean? I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Yeah.
And when you get to that point when you're learning to lean, you don't want to have to go back and start all over again. Yes. Amen. Hey, the fire, it won't be as bad as you think. Because in the midst of it, God's able.
Amen.
Father, thank you for the word of God. And Lord, you help men now. Lord, help us. Maybe some dear brother here this morning is going through a fire. Lord, might be somebody here going through trouble. Lord, might be somebody here today who's got a child that's away from God. And Lord, their heart's broken and tears. Lord, somebody here this morning maybe got a problem in church or a problem in ministry. Maybe somebody here going through a fire that nobody else knows about it but them. Lord, I pray this morning you'd give them strength to walk through the fire. Come out on the other side saying, oh, thank God he's feeble. Thank you for the word of God now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.